Hello and welcome everyone to another edition of Sustainability Now with me, Justin Mogg, here on Forward Radio, WFMP LP Louisville, 106.5 FM, broadcasting from the historic Hayburn Building in beautiful downtown Louisville, and broadcasting online anytime you want it, 24/7. We're live streaming, and you can find the archived editions of this and our other local programs at forwardradio.org, and that's the place to go online, too, to become a part of this community radio station. We are a voice for you, the community. We are not a voice for corporate America. We are not a voice for any advertising interests or funding institutions. And this station is put on by the people of Louisville. And that means we want you involved. And you can get involved in many ways. You can get involved as a volunteer with our station, either off air. We got lots of tasks we need to do as an organization, right? Or on air as a programmer like me. You can come on our station either weekly, or maybe you just have a one-time thing you want to do. You want to do a show about a certain type of music you love, or a community you want to share, or an event that's coming up, you want to get the word out. We can do that through our access hour here on Forward Radio. And we also rely entirely on your donations. So go to forwardradio.org. Consider if maybe you could support a whole day's programming with just $20. That's all it takes to keep this great radio station on the air. So go to forwardradio.org and consider how you can become a part of the new media movement here. What we do on Sustainability Now each week is bring in inspiring folks from around the community who are doing really great work, the important work of uniting social, economic, and environmental justice all at once. And today is certainly no exception. I'm really thrilled to finally get in the studio. Erin Bridges. Welcome, Erin.
Hello.
It's so great to have you here. Erin is an organizer with the Sunrise Movement, and you're going to hear a full 45 minutes or so of us talking about what that is. And because the Sunrise Movement has been so energized and active and alive and getting so many members recently, we've had to reschedule this interview several times, right?
That's right.
It's a great time
for
the Sunrise
Movement.
Thanks for being patient. That's right. That's right. So tell our listeners, before we go any further, what the heck is the Sunrise Movement, Erin?
Well, Sunrise was founded about a year and a half ago by a group entirely under 30. We are a group of young folks, a movement of young people uniting to stop climate change.
Wow.
And we want to create millions of good jobs in the process.
Right. And probably do it in a socially just way too, right?
That's right.
Not just good jobs for white people, right? Like, we really want to do this right this time.
Exactly.
And that's why I've been so inspired by what I've seen with the Sunrise Movement. And for those who want to play along at home, go to sunrisemovement.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the role for listeners who might be over 30? Let's start there. How can they support this movement?
Well, there are just so many different ways to get involved, and we don't want age to be a barrier.
Right?
No. But we do put youth forward.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's your future.
Yeah.
More than mine. It's all
exactly.
Our futures, but.
Yeah. But if y'all go on our website, we have opportunities for anyone who wants to get involved, anywhere from 10 minutes to 60 hours a week. You know, we run the gamut, whether you want to send texts to people across the country or get involved, live in D.C. in one of our movement houses. You know, there's all kinds of ways for folks to get involved.
So that's awesome. So there's so many ways to fight climate change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can fight climate change by installing solar panels on your roof. You can fight climate change by studying it more in college and school and then working on that. But what is the focus of the Sunrise Movement?
Well, we want to end the corrupting influence of fossil fuel executives on our politics. So for the past year, we have been targeting a lot of politicians to take the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge.
Nice.
Because we know that big oil runs our government, both, you know, locally, statewide, and federally. And a big reason for that is because they give money to politicians. So one of the key activities that we started doing when we first began was showing up in our local politicians' offices with a big gaggle of people.
Which I love, yep.
Demanding that they sign that pledge.
Great.
We'll show up sometimes to their town halls, to their campaign events, and we'll say, you know, you haven't taken our pledge yet. And does that have anything to do with the fact that you've taken $3 million from the industry?
Hey.
And then we might get thrown out of that event, but we get a lot of publicity around it. So that's what we did when we first started out. And, you know, we've done a lot in the past 6 months, 7 months alone. We opened up movement houses in 8 regions, 5 states, and key electoral districts for the midterms.
Wow.
And did a fellowship for 75 young folks to go full-time living and working in those houses on a lot of really amazing races in the lead-up to the midterms, because we know that the youth voting bloc is huge and is growing, and it's so important for young folks to get out there and support, you know, those new candidates who have taken the no fossil fuel money pledge and want to put forward real climate policy. And then once the election ended, we didn't slow down.
No, in fact, that might have been when you got the most national attention so far. Yeah. Was it just the day after the election?
One week after the election,
you all did a big action at Nancy Pelosi's office. Tell us about that.
That's right. Well, you know, we had done all of that work to get young folks out to vote, and we really see ourselves as a big reason why the Democrats won the House. Not just Sunrise, but so many different groups going all in to really elect amazing candidates to office. But we got
and not just any Democrat, right? Like, that's what I thought was really neat about this election.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily the blue wave, but some people call it the babe wave, which I don't know, I like that term, but there were a lot of women elected.
Yeah.
There were a lot of Middle Easterners elected, like all kinds of diversity that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And so do you have any feeling on, I don't know if you can give me an exact number, but a percentage or something like that of the candidates that Sunrise was really working to get in office? Mm-hmm. How successful were you?
Oh, gosh. Very successful.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, not everybody won, but I think there were about 30 different races that we were involved in some capacity.
And those are all national races?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
Some of them are statewide races.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, like I can give you one example in New York on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's campaign. We supported some of the door knocking for that.
Yeah.
And we also, like, something really exciting in the New York state race, there was this group called the IDC. I don't know if you've heard about them, but they were basically a Democrat in name only caucus in the New York state legislature. And they were unseated in the midterms this year. And that was huge because for Sunrise, especially because we door knocked the margin of victory in that race.
Wow.
and New York is now going to be able to put forward some of the most forward climate policy in the whole country. And so we see that as a huge win for folks even here in Kentucky, because it's changing the gamut on what's possible on climate legislation on a statewide level. Something like, I think 20 of the 30 candidates that we worked with won. And, you know, we were just really proud to be involved in a lot of those races, even in the ones that we didn't win.
Yeah.
Because we're changing what's possible.
So you had this great turnout, great moment, milestone on election day. And then a week later, you're in the Capitol. You're not saying we're done, right? You're back in Nancy Pelosi's office. What was the demand?
We were demanding that Nancy Pelosi and Democratic leadership do two things. First, they needed to endorse Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Select Committee on a Green New Deal,
okay,
which we'll talk about more.
Yeah.
And we were demanding that anyone that she puts in top Dem leadership positions take the no fossil fuel money pledge.
Okay.
Right.
And how far along are we in that effort to try and get folks to sign onto that pledge? Is it slow going? Is that coming along?
It's coming along.
Oh, good. Okay.
And the past year alone, we've had over 1,000 candidates sign on to that pledge.
Wow. Anyone from Kentucky or Indiana?
Unfortunately, I don't know about Indiana. I can't speak to Indiana, but no.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Unfortunately. And we need to do better on doing some of that local pressure. I moved back to Kentucky about a year ago. I grew up here in Louisville.
Oh, cool.
But I've been, you know, running around kind of trying to get this thing off the ground.
I imagine.
But I'm really excited about some of what I'm seeing possible in collaboration with a lot of local groups here in Kentucky who've just been doing amazing work for decades. So excited to get that rolling here and start pressuring our candidates locally.
And while you were sitting in, Cortez came out to greet you, right?
Yes.
This is the newly elected representative from New York City, some borough in Brooklyn.
And the Bronx.
Mm-hmm. She's the youngest member of Congress now, right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And she is putting forward this proposal for a special commission. You have the language right.
Yeah, you got to get those six special words, the Select Committee on a Green New Deal.
Okay. So she is definitely on board with the Sunrise movement for sure.
Yeah.
And there are plans for you all to return to the Capitol now. Mm-hmm. I hear there's a big action plan for December 10th.
That's right.
Tell us about that.
Well, I got to give you the backstory on the
sure.
past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So as we've talked about, on the week after the election, that Tuesday, we had a sit-in at Nancy Pelosi's office. 200 people showed up from across the country.
Wow.
51 people were arrested.
Wow.
You know, we've been getting some flack for why are you targeting people who are on our side?
Mm.
And, you know, if you actually listen to a lot of the speeches, including AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's speech, you'll hear that we're saying, look, we will have your back, but your people are dying right now in California. Literally 80 people have burned. And what are you doing to stop climate change in
right.
your backyard and in places that we love and call home? We're putting forward the policy that has legs. We're putting forward the only policy that actually mandates action on climate that is within the time frame that science and justice demand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And AOC had our back because she got this policy written up on a select committee on a Green New Deal, which would be a committee in the House starting in January with the mandate to create legislation on a Green New Deal to overhaul the U.S. economy, essentially, to decarbonize the U.S. economy, put millions of people to work,
mm-hmm.
to change how we get from place to place, where we grow our food, how we power our homes.
Mm-hmm.
Such important things that, you know, it's all packed into this piece of legislation and would be multiple policies, you know, put forward over many years. And that's going to take a ton of time to figure out all the nuts and bolts, right?
Right, right, right.
But we don't have time to wait, you know. Mm. The recent UN climate report says that we have 12 years to overhaul the economy to stop climate change.
Globally. Not just here in the U.S., but,
right, but the U.S.
have a huge responsibility.
We have
here.
Such a responsibility, 25% of the world's energy, you know, and we
wow.
we have to really own up to that, you know, and we have a lot of power in the world and we can do a lot if we focus our efforts on good policy.
And we certainly claim to be global leaders, right?
We
so where are
claim
we
to.
On climate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's really what the select committee would do. It would draft that policy by 2020 so that when we win in 2020,
right, be ready,
which we got to do the work to do that.
Yeah,
right. But
yeah.
if we win, we'll have that legislation ready to go.
Right.
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 So this timeline is so important. And that gets us to, you know, why we did that action in the first place
yeah.
2 weeks ago. So let me paint the picture a little bit about what's happened in the past 2 weeks. We got home and people were ringing us up like crazy. We had no idea.
Yeah.
We had no idea how big it was going to be. And it really feels like an earthquake in what is possible on climate right
awesome.
Now. And we were like, you know, we can't stop. We got to build on this momentum right now. And all these people want to get involved. We got to create ways for all of them to get involved. So last Tuesday, we had another National Day of Action. We had over 300 people sign up to host local actions in their cities and
cool.
states. A lot of young folks in Louisville told me that they called Yarmouth's office.
Nice.
Folks all over the state were making phone calls to his office. People from California to Florida and everywhere in between were showing up at local offices demanding that their representatives sign on to the select committee, support it. We are up to 18 congresspeople who now support the select committee.
Nice.
And we're going back next week because we need more. We need more support from Democrats who say that they care about our generation,
mm-hmm.
but are not willing to back the policies that really show us they care.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're showing up to tell them, we know you're taking money from the fossil fuel industry. Stop taking that money
yeah.
and start listening to the people who are putting you in office. Young folks we're willing to knock doors for you.
Mm-hmm.
We will go to bat for you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got young folks in every state in this country who want to support you,
yeah.
but can't yet because you're unwilling to put forward those policies that would literally save our lives.
Right.
Literally save our lives. So the stakes really could not be higher right now. December 13th is the day that Congress is going to close up shop for the year. When they come back in January, Democratic leadership has to put forward a lot of plans for who's going to be in leadership in the House and tell us if they're going to pass the select committee or not. So we're just trying to get as many people as we can to show up next Monday to go tell our tell our leaders they got to support this.
My guest today here on Sustainability Now is Aaron Bridges, an organizer with the Sunrise Movement. And you can learn more about that effort online and support it at sunrisemovement.org. And the immediate need right now is for people to support this action on December 10th. And I've heard that folks here in Louisville could help out in many different ways. Certainly young people are encouraged to come, first of all. Older folks are encouraged to chaperone, right? And then everybody's encouraged to chip in some money to help with the transportation costs, right? Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about how people get plugged in.
Yeah, well, it's all very fast moving.
I know.
this time last week, had no idea I'd be organizing folks to go to D.C. And like I said, it started when I was literally sitting at Bean Coffee and yeah. Two high schoolers that I know from Manual came up to me and were like, hey, what else can we do around the Green New Deal?
Wow. Awesome.
I was like, well, you could come to DC. And shout out to Destiny Grigsby, who's an amazing student at Manual, who's just been talking to a lot of students across the state to try and get folks to come to DC with us. Best way for folks to get involved would be to email me. I could just tell folks my email.
Sure.
Okay, great. if y'all want to come, you can email me at erin@sunrisemovement.org.
E-R-I-N.
E-R-I-N at sunrisemovement.org. That's right. And we'll give you all of the logistics that you need. You know, we're hoping to have folks registered by Monday night or Tuesday night at the very latest. It's kind of up in the air whether or not we're going to be able to get a charter bus or not. I'm hoping it can happen. There's high schoolers in Lexington who are getting really excited about this. I've heard whispers of some folks in Western Kentucky who are really excited, and we're just getting the word out through all our channels. So if folks know other groups that would be really interested in coming, please reach out to me. I can send you so many like sample emails, sample texts, things that you can just shoot out to your friends really quickly. And the plan is going to be leave very early Sunday morning. So Sunday morning
this
on
coming
the
9th. Sunday. Okay. Then December 9th, you're going to leave early, and the action then will take place Monday morning.
That's right.
The 10th.
That's right. And so we'll take the 9-hour drive to DC. Once we get in, there's going to be a 3-hour action training and meal. So this is really important.
Yeah, I know that's an important piece.
If folks want to participate in the action, they have to go to the action training. It's mandatory.
Just roughly, what are people going to learn? Is it nonviolent training? What is it?
We will run through the action.
Oh,
and
wow.
We'll practice songs and just do like the minute by minute. People will get sorted into roles. We'll make sure everyone has their forms submitted because there's, you know, young folks over 18 there. We got to just make sure we've got all of our T's crossed and I's dotted and all of that. And you'll get to meet, like, right now there's 400 people registered.
Whoa.
And that's like a week out. I'm like, it might get up to 1,000 by next week. So you'll get to meet some really amazing people. We'll have a shared meal that Sunrise provides on Sunday night. We're working on housing in DC. We've got a few local churches that are going to host some folks. If people know people in DC and who would be willing to open up their houses, that's another way for you to get involved. We need we need housing because, you know, the need is growing every day with how many folks want to go to this thing. So if you know folks, please email me, erin@sunrisemovement.org. We've got a sign up form for that as well. So yeah, it's all hands on deck.
What about folks back home supporting this effort? Do you want everyone else to call in their legislators that day? Is that what we're thinking about?
Mm-hmm. That would be great. Folks can be calling Yarmouth. If folks go to sunrisemovement.org/GND, there are really easy tools for you to call your local representative, submit letters to the editor. It's wild what we have up there right now. I don't know. I just like, I didn't realize that we had some of this technology on our website.
Oh, wow.
Where you just like, you type in your zip code and then it like pops up with all the local places that you can submit a letter to the editor to.
Oh, nice.
You literally don't have to leave the site.
Yeah.
And type in your letter and then it shoots it off to all the different places.
Wow.
It has a call script up there for you to just like call Yarmouth's office or whoever your local representative is, and all kinds of way for you ways for you to get involved. So,
and again, the message isn't necessarily support the Green New Deal, because that's not really a bill, although we generally want to say that, but it's to support this establishment of this select committee.
Yeah, the Select Committee for a Green New Deal.
Yeah.
And demand that, you know, our local politicians have to take the no fossil fuel money pledge.
Right, right. And that's another thing you could call on. What about non-federal representatives? Is this effort focused on the U.S. Capitol right now, or is there work to be done here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky and other states?
There's absolutely ways for folks to get involved locally. Right now, the push is going to be in D.C.
Which makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, but I encourage folks to sign up to our email list. You'll get all kinds of ways to get involved locally for the coming weeks and months and years. There's a lot to be done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's very clear that, you know, you believe it's critically important for the climate movement to start building the political power that is needed to create change versus other kinds of power. But I think that will also relate to building up people power, right?
Oh, yeah.
So talk a little bit about how you see this, the sort of the grander, I guess, strategy, if you want to talk about it that way, of the movement.
Yeah. Well, Sunrise is focused on building both people power and political power. I think that was kind of representative in the narrative of what we've done in the past year and a half. You know, like, we worked 6 months on the lead up to the election to back candidates who we want to see in office, and also call out our politicians who've been taking money from the fossil fuel industry. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But once November 6th passed, we don't slow down. That's actually the moment where we have to ramp up even more. And we've seen that, you know, that piece around building people power has been so real in the past few weeks, where we're literally, our email list has gone up by like 12,000 people one week, you know, and it's just been wild to see. And that is really building part of the people power piece. You know, we're not gonna shut up. We're not going to mm-hmm. slow down just because you're in office now. That doesn't mean anything to us. You have to show us that you care. And we're tired of our leadership giving lip service to us and not actually doing anything to back the people that they represent, you know?
Yeah, I feel like for far too long, our political leadership has really wanted it both ways. Like, you get the feeling that some of them kind of get it, at least at some level, certainly speak to supporting climate justice and action on climate change, and maybe even passing some bills or the Paris Accord or some, you know, some things that will get us some way down the road, but at the same time, like, not willing to say no to the fossil fuel industry. And that's what seems to be new about this effort, is to really just shake it up and say, wait a minute, we can't have our cake and eat it too in that way.
Yeah. Our lives literally depend on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been true for so many people for so long. And I'm just so tired of seeing our politicians take people for granted and their support for granted. And we're not there for that anymore.
Well, and it gets to the whole problem of money and politics. And ever since the Citizens United decision at Supreme Court level, we've had so much just a wash in money for political advertising. And it's really as if the political scene wasn't like corrupt enough. It's really amped it up to an obscene level.
It's unbelievable. It is truly ghastly when you like undo the veil.
The millions of billions of dollars.
And that was so heartbreaking to see even in this election, mm-hmm. in the midterms, where literally millions of dollars from the fossil fuel industry were poured into races.
Yeah. And it's not just the fossil fuel industry.
No.
It's big pharma, you know, it's all kinds of giant corporate money flooding in, or even private individuals. I mean, we now have such incredible wealth inequality that individual billionaires, right, can afford to swing elections personally, which is, it's just out of control.
Right. Or even run in local races.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So we definitely need to take the power back.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that Sunrise is involved in that. Mm-hmm. Part of your recent travels was down to Florida. What happened down there?
Well, we had a movement house down in Orlando this summer and fall. Our fellows are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, young folks just so inspired and excited to be doing work in Florida. I don't know if you kept up with the news around Amendment 4.
Yes.
Yeah. Sunrise was working with some local partners down in Florida around Amendment 4.
And for our listeners, remind them what Amendment 4 was.
Yeah. Well, Florida, like Kentucky, was one of the only four states in the country that bars convicted felons from voting.
Even after they've done their time.
Even after they've done their time.
Ridiculous.
Some Jim Crow era.
Right.
Laws on the book still. And years ago, a group of, you know, folks who had done their time started this campaign to get something like Amendment 4 on the ballot that would give folks with nonviolent felony convictions the right to vote once they do their time. And, you know, it's been years for them working on that campaign. And some of the fellows with Sunrise, you know, we were door knocking for Andrew Gillum, and we were also door knocking for Amendment 4 with Organized Florida is the partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting, as you know, on election day.
By a big margin. It
won by a huge margin.
It's unbelievable.
And oh my God, it was just so inspiring to be there on that night.
I bet.
It was heartbreaking to watch a lot of the stuff come in around Gillum and Bill Nelson losing with such small margins. And as we know, there was a vote count and a recount, but there were just so many tears pouring out.
I imagine.
Because a lot of the folks that founded that campaign for Amendment 4 were in the room and giving speeches, and it was just really heartwarming. So yeah, I went down there to kind of support our Sunrise Fellows in that last week for Get Out the Vote and doing door knocking at 7 a.m.
Right.
to, you know, the late evening hours on the day of the election. It was a really beautiful night we spent at University of Central Florida. We were at the polling station, you know, making sure everything was working correctly. Folks were getting turned away. The polling station at the university reported something like 75% turnout at that station at the local campus.
Wow.
Which, like, the last election was something like 40%.
Yeah, that's unheard of.
It was unheard of, and the polls closed at 7 o'clock, and the line was literally around the block of just fully students.
Wow.
And the Sunrise Fellows were like, we got to keep people in line. You know, we weren't doing any, like, electioneering or anything, like, telling people who to vote for. We were just like, what can we do to keep them in line?
Yeah.
And a lot of folks from NextGen were there ordering pizza, and we had one of our fellows out there playing guitar, and we were just like, we started getting folks to sing with us
that
in line.
Great.
And so, like, that's kind of some of the stuff that we were doing while I was down there in Florida. So
yeah, I never thought about that aspect of keeping people at the polls. We always talk about getting them out to the polls, but then if there's a huge line, because you've got 75% turnout.
Right, because if they're in line at 7 o'clock,
they're
they can stay in line.
They're supposed to be able to vote, yeah.
That's right.
When did they finally get in? Was it all wrapped up by...
Oh, gosh. It was probably like 9 o'clock before the last person was able to go in. Yeah.
All right. Good work there down in Florida. Wow.
It was fun.
That is an exciting story.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about this. Well, first of all, let me reintroduce you. My guest today here on Sustainability Now is Erin Bridges. She's an organizer with the Sunrise Movement who's been running around the country with this exciting new movement of young people fighting climate change, fighting the corruption of fossil fuel industry money in our politics. And she is back in Louisville briefly before the action on December 10th coming up here. But you've said that the Sunrise Movement can be thought of kind of like the opposite of the Tea Party movement. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I wouldn't say just us. I think that there is a growing movement of movements, you know, of different folks who are really pushing politics to the left in this country. We've seen that from Black Lives Matter to the work that Mi Gente has been doing locally, or Cosecha, the students in Parkland.
Yeah.
We are a part of just this beautiful fabric of people in this country that are fed up with politics as usual. And, you know, I think we always say this, we don't look left or right, we look forward. And gosh, it's just so critically important.
Yeah. And I think too, one nice thing about what I would say the way you're doing it is you're trying to bring out the best in the Democrats versus sort of bringing out the worst in the Republicans. we know that their heart might be in the right place, but we have to hold them accountable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to hold them accountable. We have to show up once they're in office.
Yeah.
And we have to be absolutely relentless.
And to me, that's the work of democracy, right? Because a lot of people think about democracy as voting. And maybe if you're really good at democracy, you get really informed about who all the candidates are and you go to some candidate forums or something like that. But that, like you were saying, that's just the very first step. And we don't stop at the ballot, right? We need to keep pressuring for what we want, even if our candidate gets in office.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'll be honest, when I was first starting to vote, it was in the era of Obama kind of not delivering on a lot of the promises that had, I was like a freshman in high school when he was first elected, and it was just so exciting to see
2008
someone.
2008 was a very hopeful moment, for sure.
But by 2012, when I graduated, it was really tough. It was really hard. And, you know, I had moved to North Carolina to go to school in Asheville, and the Republican legislature had just taken over, and it was just so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it just boils my bones to think about the fact that we don't have leaders who are willing to stand up to these folks.
Yeah.
They are white supremacists who would love to watch the world burn and are watching it burn. They're locking people away and they're holding our futures captive. We just don't have leadership that's willing to call that out or put forward new policies and new ideas that will speak to all Americans from all walks of life. It's just unfathomable to me and so frustrating to watch so many of these leaders just not do anything. They're cowards in the face of some of the most unimaginable evils. And, that's what gets me going every day, is because I know there are leaders out there in our communities and from our homes that will run and that are running and are willing to put forward some of this policy that will look out for regular Americans.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And I love what you were saying there, and I want to bring it to the fact that this Green New Deal and the Sunrise Movement is not just ambitious with respect to climate change, but also with equity and justice, right? Talk a little bit more about that, how a Green New Deal might help us, you know, end poverty and inequality and racial injustice.
Yeah. Oh, man, this policy is an incredible thing. I really encourage folks, if people have time, to look up the actual, like, 8-point mandate of the committee. Parts of it are around, you know, just doing 100% renewables by 2030.
Right.
But side by side with research on how to invest federal dollars in places that have been impacted for decades by environmental injustices and undoing some of, just some of that deep injustice. I mean, in that would be like looking at food deserts and talking about, okay, how do we get money into these places and invest in these places to have good local food in neighborhoods? We're talking about putting millions of people to work in places that have been impacted by the industry.
Right.
There's already policy that people are working on in Kentucky around the Reclaim Act, that folks have been in the midst of a campaign right now around that in Eastern Kentucky to get federal dollars put into those areas that have been impacted.
To rebuild these devastated economies, devastated by the fossil fuel industry that so many people are still clinging to as their only hope.
Right.
And all along, it was a shell game. It was not the hope of a positive future for Appalachia or anywhere else. In fact, it's an extremely destructive, extractive industry. And what the Green New Deal is trying to put in place is a regenerative economy, hopefully, right?
Exactly.
One that can truly be sustained. I think you shared with me this phrase that I love, the sustainable social democracy. I mean, that's really what we want to see happen. And it takes more than just one piece of legislation. And that's why you've got to organize differently. And that's why we've got to push for, you know, some people might balk at this. Be ready for 2020. Like, the world is burning now. But the truth about this kind of a project is it is longer term. It's going to take a lot more to do it right. And we want to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got to get started tomorrow, right?
Yeah. You know? No time to waste.
We got to get started. And we need our politicians to get started. And if they're not willing to, then we're going to get to work on it.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get to work on it.
Yeah.
it's, I mean, like I said before, what this policy is really trying to get at is overhauling our transportation, our food, our housing, everything that we deserve a right to, we deserve access to. And we can do all of that through the purview of stopping climate change, because that's what it's going to take. And we can also put millions of people to work doing that. Mm-hmm. They have access to good jobs, mm-hmm. and, you know, making our communities what we really want them to look like.
I was just thinking about how moments in U.S. history when the country really mobilized, and the sad truth is most of them were around wars. Yeah. And I think what's hopeful about this is that we can also do important work not organizing around a war. Not that there aren't wars that the U.S. is currently involved in. Let's make that point. But that, like the New Deal, this is about creating a sustainable tomorrow, not in the face of conflict, but in a sense to try and avoid future conflicts, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would even go one step further to say there is a very organized group of people in this country and across the world who are fighting to unite people around white supremacy, who are fighting to consolidate power for a wealthy few. Mm-hmm. And they're winning in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
And we have to be organizing all of our people from all walks of life to be a part of a different alignment, to be a part of the people's society, you know? And if we aren't organizing to do that, we will continue to lose. And that really gets to the heart of why we are demanding better from Democratic leadership. We deserve better in the face of such darkness.
Yeah, you know? It really is a dark time for sure. And yeah, it is a crisis moment when you just sort of can't believe that there's continues to be sort of inaction. But that just shows how entrenched the problem in our politics is. But I don't want to say that in a way that it's hopeless either, right? Because we haven't seen the sort of level of organizing, especially at the national scale, that the Sunrise Movement is putting forward for specifically something like a Green New Deal. But I do think it's going to be, the real change is going to come from sort of this unity of movements. You mentioned Black Lives Matter and other national movements that have, I mean, Me Too movement, if you want to talk about that too, but that are starting to change the political landscape. And so the Poor People's Campaign also comes to mind as another great one. Talk a little bit about how the Sunrise Movement fits in that bigger picture or works with those other movements.
Yeah. Well, even on the Green New Deal, I mean, gosh, I can't remember the recent number, but I think there's something like 80 organizations already signed on to endorse this policy.
Fantastic. And,
you know, we're talking to other folks all the time in the climate movement and talking to folks all the time in like our local cities and communities. I mean, it's really hard to sit here and tell you all the different groups that we're working with, but I think we take it very seriously, our part in bringing young people into this fold of this broader movement ecology that I was talking about, young folks who are scared about the climate crisis, we have to bring them with us into this future that we're building alongside our siblings from all of these other movements. It's just so important. And we will show up for each other during moments of crisis. We will send our people to actions, and we will, you know, raise the dollars for each other that we need to survive in this climate. So that's kind of how we think about it, I think. And there's just like countless organizations that we're working with to make sure that we're doing that.
Does some of this work happen in this wonderful term you've shared several times now, movement houses? I'm not familiar with what a movement house is. So is that a physical space where people from different movements can come together?
Well, the way that we kind of conceived this is like, we know there's young folks who want to be working on movement work.
Yeah.
We're in our first year, so we're trying to raise money as best we can. What if we like bought a house for the year? Like Sunrise, like rents a home. Young folks who want to be working on on this work with us can go live there.
Wow.
And, you know, get a small stipend and also get paid in food and housing and participate in this work full time. Wow. And that becomes a location for, meetings and, community work. We have a house in Philly right now, and, I believe one in DC. We closed out a few of the other ones after the election.
Oh, okay.
We'll be reopening ones in the future.
Yeah.
Wow. But it kind of becomes this really amazing community space, and a living space for organizers. And that, you know, that term Movement House might be new, but that
concept has been around
for sure.
But I don't feel like it's happened in a while. Like, yeah. That seems like resurrecting a great idea from a few decades ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool. It must be an exciting time to be a young political activist.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it seems like it. People are excited about it.
We're getting towards the end. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what you're hearing from these young activists who are involved. It doesn't sound to me like they, I mean, despite how dark the times are, it doesn't sound like people are just like really depressed and throwing in the towel at all, right?
No. The action in D.C. was one of the most empowering actions I've ever been a part of, because I've been involved in climate work for a few years, but it was one of the first times that I really believed that we could win something.
Wow.
And it was because I was looking in the eyes of, you know, the 18-year-olds who were there, who were just crying and, you know, shouting songs too, and just running the gamut of emotions.
Yeah.
But literally putting forward the policies that our representatives haven't been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
I said this in one of my own speeches, we are molding our own destinies right now in ways that our politicians have been unwilling to do.
Yeah.
And the power of holding hands with other young people, demanding something so concrete,
mm-hmm.
that would truly transform our whole country and give us back our futures. You know, it is so hard to live in this country knowing, am I going to be able to have children?
Right.
I'm a sixth generation Kentuckian. Mm. My grandparents grew up here. I have so many cousins here, and I want to be able to have a family here too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, it gets into that despair, right? It gets into that despair so real, because I might not be able to have that. But being a part of some of these actions has really made me feel like we can do it. Not just despite something, you know, there's that thing of like, if we were to fail forever, would you show up? And, you know, I would, because what else am I supposed to do?
Mm.
But boy, doesn't it feel nice to really feel like...
not sit on your hands.
There is a future.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks so bright.
Yeah.
And just talk to a young person, because they see it, because we have to see it.
Yeah.
So I just encourage you, if you know any young people in Kentucky who want to be a part of that, if you want to be a part of that, come with us next week to DC and feel that with us. It's just, it's beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sunrisemovement.org is the place to go to learn more. If you want to get in on the Kentucky contingent to DC, or if you know someone in the DC area who might be able to provide housing or support or anything else that you want to get in touch with Sunrise about, you can contact Erin directly at Erin@sunrisemovement.org, and she can help make sure that it happens. That's all she does now. She's crazy busy doing this wonderful work.
That's right. Yeah. And if you're not able to join, there's all kinds of stuff you can do at home. Go to sunrisemovement.org/GND. That stands for Green New Deal, and we'll get you plugged in.
thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come into Forward Radio today. It was really an honor to have you.
It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I'm very inspired by this work. It's so exciting.
Thanks.
All right. Stay tuned, everyone. Coming up in just a minute, it's your community action calendar. Even if you're not going to DC with Sunrise this week, there's lots you can do to get plugged in and help make sustainability happen now. There's no time to waste, my friends. So stay tuned to Forward Radio. What an inspiration that was to hear from Aaron Bridges and the youth movement, the Sunrise Movement, here on Sustainability Now. You're listening to Forward Radio WFMP LP Louisville at 106.5 FM, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Louisville in the Hayburn Building. And we're also live streaming to the world at forwardradio.org. Behind me now are the sweet sounds of local favorites Appalatin, and we thank them for giving us the permission to use their great local music on the podcast SoundCloud editions of our programs. Check more about them at appalatin.com. My name is Justin Mogg, and it's time for you, my friends, to get your pencils sharp and get your calendars out and get ready to get radioactive for sustainability. This is the week, my friends, to get off your hands, start making a difference, whether you're going to organize with the Sunrise Movement to either help them or personally yourself go out to demand action for a Green New Deal in Washington, D.C. on Monday, or whether you're going to stay home. There's a lot to do here in Louisville, too. So this announcement, the first thing on our calendar, is coming from one of Forward Radio's community partners, the wonderful United Nations Association of the U.S. The Kentucky Division is hosting on United Nations Human Rights Day and the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. On Wednesday, they're hosting a human trafficking and sexual exploitation conference on the subject of human rights close to home. It's this Wednesday, December 5th, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. You might want to sign in and get some breakfast starting at 8 a.m. It's taking place at the University of Louisville University Club Ballroom. That's at 200 East Brandeis Avenue. So you enter the north end of campus from Cardinal Boulevard on First Street there. Take a left, go to the end. At the traffic circle, you'll find the University Club right there. On Wednesday the 5th at 8:30 a.m., the program begins. Registration is required. To do so, contact Tina Halbig at TENAHAL@AOL.com or give her a call, Tina Halbig, at 502-267-6883. The cost, which includes breakfast, lunch, and snacks, is $55 for the day. Students are always free at the event. And the event starts with a welcome from Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear, speaking on the fight to end human trafficking in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. You also hear from the Executive Director of the Kentucky Human Rights Commission, John Johnson, on protecting civil rights here in Kentucky, as well as the Polaris Project Advisor, Vanessa Chauhan, on human rights at home, combating human trafficking. Then you can enjoy an art display and hear from artist Leslie Nichols on civil rights and human rights using the art of typography. Over lunch, there will be a special address by Louisville Metro Council President David James on addressing human trafficking and drug paraphernalia. And after lunch, there will be a survivor leadership panel, a presentation of the Jenny Sheldorf Outstanding Community Service Awards, a talk by Chris Owens from MEDIC, adverse childhood experiences, and it wraps up with Aisha Hamid on pornography as a public health crisis. Sounds like a great conference on human trafficking coming up this Wednesday, December 5th, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the University of Louisville University Club. Also coming up on Wednesday, the first Wednesday of every month, of course, it's the Louisville Sustainability Forum. It takes place from noon to 1:30 at the Passionist Earth and Spirit Center in the Undercroft there at 1924 Newburg Road. You can join them every month for interesting and informative presentations, dialogue, and networking about sustainability issues. At each meeting, there's one featured presentation and one or two shorter presentations, as well as discussion announcements and an opportunity for networking and building our sustainability community every Wednesday at noon at the Passionist, every first Wednesday at noon at the Passionist Earth and Spirit Center, 1924 Newburg Road. Also coming up this weekend on Saturday, December 8th, the Louisville Community Grocery needs your help. The canvassing in Shelby Park neighborhood that you may have heard about on last week's community calendar was rescheduled from last weekend due to rain. So we will be meeting up this coming Saturday, December 8th, from 10 a.m. to noon, meeting at the Shelby Park Community Center. And again, the effort here is to do some market research to survey folks about what they want to see in a community grocery store and where they'd like to see it take place. And that's happening in the Shelby Park neighborhood this December 8th, Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. Meet at the Shelby Park Community Center. More information is at loufoodcoop.com. Also coming up this Sunday, a couple recurring events I want to remind you about. Every Sunday at noon, it's what we call Compost Church at the University of Louisville. It's our community composting volunteer day. It takes place every Sunday at noon for a couple hours. And the location is 250 East Bloom Street. So it's just one block north of Cardinal Boulevard between Brook and Floyd Streets. You can come dress to get dirty and help us turn trash into treasure as we manage U of L's volunteer power community composting operation. Tools are provided. You can learn about worm composting, and all participants will be welcome to haul back some of the rich U of L compost for their own gardening projects in whatever containers or vehicle that you bring along. This is a weekly service opportunity throughout the year. If you want more information, you can go to louisville.edu/sustainability and click on composting, or you can contact Brian Barnes, who manages the program, at 502-338-1338. Also, every Sunday at 1 p.m., it's a community meeting of the Kentucky Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression working on the People's Agenda. It takes place every Sunday at 1 at the Carl Braden Memorial Center, 3208 West Broadway. It's a community meeting to discuss concerns relevant to West Louisville, such as education, the police, legislation, mayor and metro government budget, economic development, housing, and more. For more information, you can call 778-8130 or come on out any Sunday at 1 at the Carl Braden Memorial Center on West Broadway. Also, every Sunday at 3 p.m., it's the community meeting of Stand Up Sunday's weekly meeting, 2308 West Chestnut Street. Stand Up Sunday is the weekly multiracial meeting of Black Lives Matter Louisville to discuss and strategize around the issues that plague Black Louisville. This meeting takes place every Sunday at 3 at the historic home of Honorable May Street Kid. For more information, go to facebook.com/standuplouisville. Now, coming up on Sunday, it's a special monthly event. The Louisville Time Bank's December potluck is coming up on this Sunday, December 9th at 5:30 p.m. at Kay Woodward's Condo Party Room. Sounds good. It's at Linden Way and Thierman Lane in St. Matthews. You can come into the lobby and go to the phone on the wall, follow directions to call the party room. Bring a white elephant or holiday gift of low value and join in the storytelling gift exchange. It's a fun time. Bring a dish to share, and you'll earn a Time Bank credit. We'd love to see many members of the Louisville Time Bank or prospective members there. They'll also be talking about offers and requests on the website and among those members attending. The Louisville Time Bank is an effort to democratize our economy and to move away from a cash-based system to equalizing work where everyone's time is of equal value, and you can support one another through things like pet sitting or baking a cake or fixing a bike or whatever it is, skills or time that you have to share with others in exchange, you can get some time back. So it's all a credit-based system through the Time Bank. You can learn more at LouisvilleTimeBank.org. Now, coming up next Monday, December 10th, it's the one of my favorite sustainability organizations in the state for sure, the Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. Their Jefferson County chapter will be having its holiday party on Monday, December 10th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the First Unitarian Church at 809 South 4th Street. You can join the chapter for their holiday party. There will be fun, music, and games. You can come and celebrate a year of good work and great people. Bring family, friends, a potluck dish to share, or your favorite board game. You can RSVP and sign up to bring a dish if you can at bit.ly/JCKFTC Holiday 2018. That's JCKFTC Holiday 2018. We'll also have a holiday marketplace where you can do some last minute shopping for stocking stuffers. You'll find your favorite KFTC merchandise, homemade goodies from fellow KFTC members, and more. If you have something fun you'd like to donate to the marketplace, feel free to bring it along. First Unitarian Church is wheelchair accessible and has gender neutral bathrooms. More information is at kftc.org. Now, also coming up on Monday, December 11th, Slow Food Bluegrass is having their potluck holiday party Monday the 10th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Gravely Brewing Company, 514 Baxter Avenue. It's the annual Slow Food Bluegrass holiday party, and they will be celebrating all of the organization's accomplishments in the past year and recognizing their amazing volunteers. This party will be a potluck, so please bring a dish to share, and they look forward to seeing you there. Slow Food Bluegrass is a chapter of Slow Food USA and Slow Food International. They seek to carry out the Slow Food mission of good, clean, and fair food for all, which means a world in which all people can access and enjoy food that is good for them, good for those who grow it, and good for the planet. Slow Food Bluegrass supports the activities and education of like-minded individuals, businesses, and organizations. Food is a part of our daily lives and is central to our culture and celebrations, and they encourage the community to get involved with Slow Food by bringing good, clean, and fair foods to their tables through events, community outreach, and their school garden program. More information is at slowfoodbluegrass.org or come on out to Gravely Brewing, 514 Baxter Avenue, Monday, December 10th, 6 to 9 p.m. for their potluck holiday party. Coming up on Tuesday, December 11th at 5:15 p.m., it's the KFTC's Environmental Justice and Air Quality Work Team will be having their meeting in the KFTC office next Tuesday, December 11th, 5:15 p.m., 735 Lambton Street. The Environmental Justice and Air Quality Work Team meets on the second Tuesday of each month at the KFTC office. Everyone has a right to clean air and water, and we are working to ensure that it happens. More information is at kftc.org. And finally, I want to mention also next Tuesday, December 11th, it's the Louisville Community Groceries meeting, monthly meeting, potluck, and special holiday party, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Joshua Tabernacle Baptist Church, 426 South 15th Street. You can join us for this wonderful holiday party. Bring a nut-free dish to share and your opinions about what you want in a community-owned grocery store. The group meets every second Tuesday of the month to share food and continue the organizing to build a cooperatively owned community grocery store in one of Louisville's food deserts as more of our corporate capitalistic grocery stores close around us. It is ever more important that folks get involved in this effort. So come on out Tuesday the 11th, 5:30 p.m. at the Tabernacle, 426 South 15th Street, and you get more information at loufoodcoop.com. And that's all the time we have for today here on Sustainability Now. I invite you to stay tuned to Forward Radio. Lots of great programming coming up, and I'll be back in your ears in 1 week's time. Till then, stay green, stay strong, my friends.